Stand with me if you're able in reverence to the word of God. And let's start reading this morning in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 11. The Bible said, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I imagine that these people were used to lifting up their voices because they were required by the law to holler, unclean, unclean, so that nobody would come near them. But here they're lifting up their voice, trying to find some help. I just want you to know I'm glad that when I was 27 years old and I came to the end of myself and I saw where sin was taking me, I'm glad I came to a place in my life where I realized I needed some help. And I'm glad that I found the one that still offers mercy to those that are needing help. The Bible said here, and when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, and with a loud voice he glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. If correctly read, that's verse 11 down through verse number 19 of Luke chapter 17. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for the privilege to open this Bible once again. And Lord, I pray this morning that the spirit of the study of your word would be carried into the pulpit this morning. And God, from the pulpit to the pew, Lord, that you'd touch our voice, and God, that you'd touch our hearts and touch our minds and help us to say exactly what needs to be said and leave off anything, our Lord, that would be displeasing in thy sight. Thank you, Lord, for the congregation, the choir, the special singing this morning, Lord. I'm so glad, our Father, that, Lord, you're still in the need meeting business. Lord, there may be someone here today who needs mercy. Lord, in salvation, there may be somebody that needs your mercy and grace as they serve you. Lord, we all need you. And Lord, we pray today that you'd magnify yourself in our midst in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, Amen. You can be seated. Pray for us, please, as we endeavor to preach the Word of God. This morning, I want to look here, and I don't know even how to title the message, because in my heart, you'll find out tonight that this message is being tied in with Psalm 100. And I'll get to that tonight. But here in the Word of God, Jesus said, Where are the 9? There's only one that returned to give thanks. And I want to just give you 3 simple things this morning and try to bring the message as God has put it in my heart. This is not the first time that I've preached this text, but it's the first time I've preached it like this. It's what God has given me. The first thing I want to say about this here is these are they that understood their condition. I'm not sure that the reason we're not seeing more people saved than what we see saved is I don't believe that many people are seeing their condition in this hour that we live in. Let me say this morning. It takes the Holy Spirit for a person to see their condition. It takes more than a preacher. It takes more than a message. It takes more than mechanics of witnessing or more than even just a gospel tract. God uses all those things, but ultimately the Holy Spirit of the living God has to show a person their condition. When you're talking about leprosy, there's a parallel in the Bible between leprosy and sin. Leprosy in the Bible is a terrible disease. It's not just in the Bible, but you realize in Bible days they didn't have the treatments. It's still incurable. Every time, listen, I thought this was a wonderful thing to know as I studied about leprosy in the Word of God. Every time it was cured, it was always cured miraculously. Let me tell you something about sin. It'll only be cured miraculously. It'll only be cured as a person comes in contact with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. That's the only way that it'll be cured. Man has never come up with a cure for sin, but thank God, God has a cure for sin, and God had a cure for leprosy. Beloved, listen, leprosy was a dreaded disease, a dreadful disease. It was a disease not only that was ugly to look at. A person's nose may rot off of their face. Their lips may rot off. Their ears may rot off. Their fingers may rot off. Their limb, a whole limb, may rot off. Are you listening to me? But not only was it something that was just terribly, terribly disturbing to look at, but it was also something that was terribly disturbing to smell. There was a stench. When I studied about leprosy and thought about that, I thought about how I must have smelled that night coming from the hog pen. Amen. But my father came right to me anyway and fell on me and kissed me and welcomed me into the family of God. I'm telling you, beloved, we're living in a generation that pets sin, but sin still stinks, and sin still destroys, and sin is still destroying marriages. It's still destroying homes. It's still destroying lives. And America better wake up and realize it's still destroying nations today. That's how powerful this sin is. These guys, they realized their condition. It was a condition that declared them to be unclean. They realized, listen to me this morning. You can come to church. You can come to a good church. And beloved, you can compare yourself with somebody else and you can think, well, man, I'm just as clean as they are. But I'll tell you this, if you ever get in the presence of a holy God, you'll be really willing to cry out unclean. That's what happened in Isaiah's day. The Bible said they cried, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I'm telling you, beloved, Isaiah saw himself in the light of the Savior, and he said, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. They saw their condition. It was a condition that declared them to be unclean. But then it was a condition that separated them from the clean. Listen to me. If for no other reason this morning, if I was unsaved, Brother Ralph, you mentioned your wife a while ago and she's sick. I can't help it. I'm just a pastor that cares. Are you listening to me? If I didn't have no other reason this morning to want to make sure that heaven would be my home, it'd be these precious saints of God that love God and pray for me. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, sin will separate you from the church forever and forever in a place called hell. You'll never be with those people again. Leprosy separated them from the clean. Oh, you say, preacher, are you saying you're clean? Yes, I am. But not by my righteousness, by His righteousness, by His blood. Thank God I've been declared clean in the family of God. Beloved, listen, sin, they realized their condition. They understood their condition. They declared themselves to be unclean. But it was the condition that separated them from the clean. Jesus entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers. You think about this. The Bible said here, I believe in verse number 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria. Let me tell you something about the Jews. They'd go around Samaria. Jesus went right through the middle. I'm glad Jesus didn't go around where I was that night. I'm glad Jesus didn't go around where I was yesterday when I was praying and asking him what we needed in this service today. I'm glad Jesus went right through where I was, aren't you? Amen. Listen, this old world, this old earth that we live in, he came from heaven down here to earth to give his life, amen, that we might go from earth up to his heaven and be with him forever and forever. They understood their condition. But then let me give you this. Now, this may be a little bit a different way than what you would think about this, but I believe these 10 lepers understood his compassion. You say, preacher, I didn't know anybody could understand anything. Let me just give you what's in my mind. Why are they crying with a loud voice? Why are they crying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us? I'm going to tell you something I believe. Now listen, I'm not going to be dogmatic, but I believe they had heard about a woman of Samaria that met him down there at the well, that had lived loose, that had had six husbands, and one, or five husbands, and the one she had, one her own. I believe they had heard about blind men that could now see, lame men that could now walk. I believe they heard about Jairus' daughter that was dead and now was alive. I'm telling you, listen, you can say whatever you want to, but wherever Jesus went, the word got out. When he comes to town, business picks up. Amen. I believe they had heard about his compassion. I believe they knew that he loved sinners. I believe they knew that he ate with them, and he visited with them, and he loved them, and he helped them, and he healed them everywhere he went. Amen. Then they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They understood. Let me just say this. They understood more about his compassion than a lot of men standing in pulpits today do. Because they want to judge this one and judge that one and judge this one and judge that one. I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus ain't never met a sinner that he can't help. If that sinner, beloved, will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll be just as saved as anybody else is. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, these are they that understood his compassion. This compassion was found in their master. Let me just say this to you. You'll never get help until you want a different master. When sin is your master, beloved, sin is taking you down sin's trail. Now listen to me carefully. I started preaching this in prison years ago, and it ought to have been preached all my ministry. Ain't nobody going to get saved till they get tired of their sin. Until they get tired of that old master and they want a new master. There ain't nobody going to get saved, beloved, until they want a new master. There are people preaching that you get a Savior, then later on if you decide you can have a Lord, oh, beloved, let me tell you something right now, you can't separate him. If you ever get tired of your sin, you'll want a Savior and you'll want a Lord. You'll want a Master. You'll want somebody that can straighten that mess out that you've made out of your life. He's both Lord and Savior. You don't get a Lord or a Savior. You get both. When you get saved by the grace of God, this compassion was found in their mercy, in their master, and then this compassion was found in his mercy. You know what I believe? They believed he had mercy on others, and if we can just get to him, if we can just they didn't even, beloved, listen. They didn't even believe they had to touch the hem of his garment. They knew that was not possible. If we can just get in a position where he can hear us and we can hear him, hallelujah. If we can just get in a position where he can hear us and we can hear him, we can experience his mercy. They hollered with a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Watch this now. Beloved, not only did they understand his compassion, it was compassion that was found in their master. It was compassion that was found in his mercy. but it was compassion that was found in a moment. The Bible said, as they went. Wonder how many steps, Brother Thurman, they took before one of them either looked at his own hand or looked at the hand or looked at the face of the person next to him. Wonder, the Bible said, as they went, they were healed. I'm going to tell you something right now. This gives a beloved reason to think that how many times have you heard somebody testify? I believe it's true in my own life. I believe after that first step, hey, man, Brother Brian, when I made that first step that night, I believe the rest of it was just a formality. Because in my heart, I had surrendered my will to His will. I had realized that I was the leper, that I was unclean, and that there was mercy to be found nowhere else except in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that first step, the rest of it was just a formality. My pride was gone. I said my pride was gone. It's a shame, but a lot of men and women are going to die without God and split hell wide open because they've got too much pride to admit I'm a leper. I'm a sinner. I'm unclean. And the only way for me to be clean is to come to this man called Jesus. Hallelujah. The compassion was found in a moment. The Bible said they lifted up their voices. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, I mean, he's glad he saw you. He said unto them, listen, when he saw them, Brother Rose, they wasn't much to look at. I say, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he sees something? Oh, that they sing a song, Brother Adam, when others saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king, amen. I'm glad God sees something that you and I don't see in that sinner. He sees an opportunity to work, an opportunity for mercy. They lifted up their voices. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Let me just say this to you this morning. It's so important. What Mary told those at the wedding at Cana of Galilee, they said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. It's so important. Have we not learned in recent days how important it is to be obedient to the Spirit of God? If the Spirit of God wants you to sing, sing. If he wants you to shout, shout. If he wants you to testify, testify. Because it's so important, beloved. Somebody else's life may be hanging in the balance. Amen. Here was a group of people. They understood their condition. They understood his compassion. But then I've titled the first two points in the message, These Are They. These Are They, speaking of all ten. But I can't say these are they when I come to the last point in the message. Because there's only one. If I'm understanding the scripture correctly, there's only one. They all understood their condition. They all understood his compassion, but there was only one that understood his commission. Now listen to me carefully. He returned. Somebody tell me how many years it is since 1987, real quick. That'd be 31, wouldn't it? This is 18. That made pretty easy math. I was able to get that on my own. So February 22nd this year of 18, I was 31 years old in Jesus. This coming year, I'll be 32 years old in Jesus. Somebody might say, well, that happened so long ago. Why do you keep coming back? Why do you keep coming back on Sunday morning? Why do you keep coming back on Sunday night? Why do you keep coming back in revival and prayer meetings? Why do you keep coming back? That was so long ago. because I understand His commission. I understand that there's more to this thing than just getting saved. I understand that anybody that's done such for me deserves for me to just keep on coming back. And by the way, I'm just practicing for glory. Because I believe we're going to fall at His feet, don't you? I believe we're going to praise Him. I believe we're going to worship Him. Amen. And I believe, listen, I believe that there was only one that understood His commission. Jesus said, "Where are the nine?" Let me give you something this morning. I believe this is important. This one that understood His commission, he saw several things. He saw a change in his condition. Let me tell you something this morning. Listen to me carefully. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, if there's never been a change in your life, there's no Christ in your life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I said, listen, it doesn't matter if you was 8 or 80 when you got saved. Beloved, there was a great change took place in your life. I mean, the guilt went out and the peace of God came in. Amen. The hatred and the malice went out and the love of God came in. Amen. The joy of God began to ring in your heart and in your life when you got saved. Let me tell you something right now. Ain't no church can do that for you. Ain't no amount of religious activity can do that for you. That takes a trip to Calvary. That takes Jesus. That takes being born again. That takes being made a new creature in Christ Jesus. So this man realized he saw a change in his condition. But watch this. He saw something else, Brother Thurman, that I believe we all need to be looking for. He saw a chance to glorify God. You know what I believe Brother Brian taught us about Christmas this morning and the prophecies, and I enjoyed it so much. But I believe between now and Christmas, if we just get up every morning and say, "Oh God, I'm looking for a chance today. I'm just looking for an opportunity, Brother Steve. Just looking for a chance to glorify God in my words and my actions and what I do and what I say." How many believe that changes? Say amen. Here was the man, he understood his commission. He's looking and he sees the change that's happened in his life. And now he's looking for a chance to glorify God. You say, "Preacher, where did you get that from the text?" Look what the Bible said. He saw that he was healed in verse 15. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He wasn't ashamed. I like the song, brother. Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my brother's pastor, Dyson Grove. Brother Leonard Fletcher, thank y'all. I like the song Brother Leonard wrote. "I'm not ashamed to stand and say I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say I'm trusting in His word." Amen. Here was a man that was not ashamed. He looked and he saw the change, and then he saw a chance to glorify God. Watch this now. He saw a change in his position. This is important. In the previous verses, I don't know exactly what verse, but you see all these 10 men, they're standing, Brother Steve. But now his position is no longer standing, but he's on his face. I guess that went from kneeling maybe to even being prostrate out in front of the Lord Jesus. He's on his face before the Lord. I see that change in his position, but here's one that I like even better. That when they were standing, they were afar off. Now he's at his feet. Aren't you glad we've been made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the blood of His cross? We which once were afar off have been made nigh by the blood of the Lamb. What a blessing this morning. He sees that change in his condition. A chance to glorify God. He sees the change in his position. But I want you to watch this morning. I'm not real smart, but I've been enjoying here in recent days looking up some of these Greek and Hebrew words and trying to learn some things from them. He saw a change in his future. This man's future has changed. I'm not going to labor the point or argue the point, but I believe in the original tongue, there's something being depicted here that we might miss if we didn't have the Greek words. Let me show you what I mean. First of all, if you look at in verse number 15, the Bible said he saw that he was healed. That comes from a Greek word. Brother Brian, you did real good them words over in the Old Testament this morning. Here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to imitate Miss Kim. I'm going to spell it. It comes from a Greek word, I-A-O-M-A-I. Okay? And it means to cure, to heal, to make whole. Watch now. Watch. In verse number 15, he saw that he was healed. I want to say something. I believe they were all healed. Got me? Everybody with me so far? The second word is the word cleansed. And it comes from the Greek word, it's spelled K-A-T-H-A-R-I-Z-O, catharizo, that'd be close. It means to cleanse. It means to purge. It means to purify. That's where we get our English word catheter from. So you got the word healed. You got the word cleansed. Now watch this. In verse number 19, Jesus says of this one that returned, watch this now, that he was made whole. It comes from a Greek word, and it's spelled S-O-S-O, but it's said with a D, sozo. And it means save. It means saved. It means delivered. It means protected. I'm not sure. And where I'm not sure, I'll say I'm not sure. But it seems to me in studying those three words that nine got the outside taken care of. But one got the outside and the inside taken care of. I will say this without apology. If you'll read about the boy that was born blind from his birth, he was given his sight physically, and then he met up with Jesus again. You remember when he said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe?" And Jesus said something like, "The one you're speaking with, that's him." And he believed on the Lord. And the Bible said he was made whole. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe with all of my heart that anybody that physically had leprosy would want to be healed. But I believe if we could get a picture of sin, that we would understand that there's no healing of sin apart from this complete salvation that comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read this, I'll share it with you and I'm done. While on a short-term mission trip back in 1996, Pastor Jack Hinton from New Bern, North Carolina, was leading worship at a leper colony on the island of Tobago. There was time for one more song, so he asked if anyone had a request. And a woman who had been facing away from the pulpit turned around and faced the pulpit. He said it was the most hideous face that he had ever seen. The woman's nose and ears were completely gone. The disease had destroyed her lips as well. She lifted her hand with no fingers on it and said, "Can we sing? Count your many blessings." The pastor was so overcome with emotion that he exited the pulpit, Brother Lance, and had to go outside. No doubt this woman, Brother Lance, didn't want to hinder the service and distract the pastor as he was trying to lead the worship. So she faced away. And she turns and says, "Can we sing? Count your many blessings." Someone ran outside to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I guess you'll never sing that song again." He said, "No, you're wrong." He said, "I'll never sing that song the same way again." What's that mean? That means, beloved, if that woman that had leprosy in that colony could turn and raise a fingerless hand and say, "Can we count? Can we sing? Count your many blessings." Oh, you say, "Preacher, I thought Thanksgiving was over." Never for the child of God. Never for the child of God. Brother Brian, Christmas is never over for the child of God. This is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. If that little lady could say, "Can we sing, count your blessings, count your many blessings," how much more this morning should you and I that are saved by the grace of God, healed, cleansed, sozo, saved, protected, delivered. In the eyes of God, we're already as good, Brother Loyal, as already being there in his presence. How much more should you and I thank him and praise him for what he's done in our lives? If you're here today and you're lost, that same Jesus that went through Samaria has come through Bloomingdale. He wants you to know he loves you. He wants you to know that it doesn't matter how bad your sin stinks. And you say, "Preacher, that leprosy, man, you've described it. It's terrible." Well, I can think of something worse. That's dead. Think about, I'm not trying to be ugly, something dead. Think about what the bugs are doing, and think about the smell. I had a man one time and wanted to be a blessing to his pastor, so he gave me some fish. When he gave them to me, they were frozen. And what I didn't know is that he had sent them by one of my children, and one of my children stuck them under my seat. They didn't stay frozen. They didn't stay smelling good. When I traded that vehicle, you could still smell them. You could not get that smell out. The smell of death. You say, "Preacher, what's that got to do with anything?" When we're not saved, we're dead in trespasses and sin. And God loves us so much that he'll come to us, quicken us, wake us up. Let us know he loves us and he'll save us. We'll just make that one step. As they went, they were cleansed. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning, Lord, for enough strength to preach the message today that you put in our heart. I pray, dear Lord, someone, Lord, would receive our Father, the words of life. Someone, Lord, would trade their sin this day for your salvation. I pray, Lord, that maybe someone that my mind keeps going back to the Sunday school lesson on being overcharged, maybe somebody's just so overcome with the holidays and the responsibilities. And Lord, I know that many people undergo financial pressure, family pressure, and problems. Lord, if we're children of God, help us not to forget, to return, to fall at your feet, to worship you, to thank you for what you've done. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.